Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having the happiest of hump days. Well, it is always a pleasure to bring back in ESPN baseball analyst Tim Kirchen. Does a great job on TV, his spots on the Dan Le Batard Show, and we always appreciate him in Chattanooga. Tim, how are you today?
I'm tired, but I'm good.
Aren't we all? All right. When you think about, and I know this is a big picture question, but you've had time to digest the 2020 season that we all knew was going to be different. What did you think about it? Because I thought it was kind of interesting. I don't know if you got the same feel. By the time we got to the World Series with Dodgers-Rays, I mean, you heard all year about, yeah, you got to put an asterisk on this, put an asterisk on this. But when you had the two top seeds, it felt like it kind of legitimized some things.
Yeah, it did for me. I was watching the World Series. Now, was it different? Of course it was. Not the same without 50,000 people there. It's not the same as any year that we've known. But there wasn't one second that I looked and said, well, this is bogus. I'm not going to watch this or I'm not interested in this. That's ridiculous. The Dodgers went 43-17 during the regular season. They went 56-22 during the season and the postseason to somehow invalidate that just isn't fair. These are the rules. It was an extraordinary season. It was a really terrible season in so many ways. But the fact that we finished it made a great season in its own right, and there's nothing to take away from the way the Rays got there and the way the Dodgers got there and then won the World Series. So I understand there's going to be an imaginary asterisk over this for the rest of the time, but there's no way that anyone could say the Dodgers were not the champions of 2020 because they played by the same rules as everyone, and they were the best team in baseball from the first day of the season to the last day of the season.
And picking right up on that, because how the Dodgers got to the World Series is kind of a sore subject here in Chattanooga because this is Atlanta Braves territory. I'm with you. I mean, the Dodgers felt like the favorite all year, but boy, during that seven-game series, those two teams just really felt like they were on similar footing. Did that surprise you, just how well the Braves and the Dodgers just went toe-to-toe?
No, I was not surprised. I picked the Dodgers to win that series at seven. I thought the Braves were the second-best team in the National League this year, and I thought they showed really well in the postseason, especially when they were trying to win under adverse circumstances with injuries like everyone else had. But Mike Soroka going down, my goodness, things might have changed if he had been there. But the fact that, you know, those young pitchers led by Ian Anderson came through and did what they did is a great sign if you're a Braves fan. You have to look at that rotation next year and see, once Soroka's healthy, Fried, Soroka, Anderson, Wilson, Wright, and others. My goodness, it's a great situation, and assuming they get improved health from some other people, it could be a very good Braves team coming back next year. And you have to think half of them are going to say, look at that great experience we gained playing those big games, and the other half's going to say, we're angry as hell that we blew a 3-1 lead to the Dodgers. We're going to show everyone and make up for it next year. So very encouraging signs ahead for the Braves.
How important is signing Marcell Ozuna to add to what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I mean, that guy had a great year. He's going to be in the top five of the MVP voting and top three of the MVP voting, probably. And he was top four, I would say. Four, he's going to finish. But he was great for them. He carried them down the stretch with a lot of help from Acuna Jr. and Freddie Freeman. But they need him back. He just showed them in this day and age where hitting the ball out of the ballpark is absolutely critical. Scoring runs is so hard to come by, and he gets runs across the plate. I think they have to re-sign him, even if it's for 1 year, and I don't think it's going to be for 1 year. I think that would be critical for the Braves.
You know, back to the Dodgers, a ton of them came through Chattanooga. When you think about Corey Seager and Jock Peterson, Justin Turner even came through when he was with the Reds way back in the day. But obviously there was no Chattanooga lookout season. If the coronavirus is having a similar effect 4 or 5 months from now, what do you think minor league baseball will look like in 2021 if there is minor league baseball?
Well, like everyone else, I'm worried about minor league baseball. It's a lifeblood of the big leagues. I covered minor league baseball for 2 years. I like to think I really understand and appreciate its importance to the big leagues. It's a pipeline to the big leagues, and not to mention how important it is for towns and cities all across this country. I'm not sure everyone totally understands that, and that's discouraging because you need to understand that fundamental situation with minor league baseball. So my big concern is Major League Baseball is going to say, look, we just played a season without the minor leagues, and it turned out okay. And that's a really bad attitude to have in this. I hope we get every minor league team back next year, but let's be realistic. COVID is not going away. I'm worried about spring training starting on time, and therefore I'm worried about the minor leagues for next year. It's just too hard to tell at this point, but all bets are off. It's a very complicated situation.
You're listening to ESPN baseball analyst Tim Kirchen. Always does a great job. Always appreciative of his visiting. You're listening to Tim here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Tim, do you want the funny first, or do you want to expand on the complicated?
Well, I think we better finish with a laugh, so let's go with the complicated.
Okay. What do you think is a bigger issue for baseball next year, the COVID or the CBA that could lead to historic labor unrest?
Well, I think it's the COVID because we see its power now, and its power is not going away. It's a miracle Major League Baseball finished the way it did. It's a miracle the NBA and the NHL did as well as it did, and now we're seeing football run into this. So I think COVID is the number one concern for everyone, and yet CBA is a very, very big concern. And this is going to be, a long, dark, grim winter for baseball from what I can see, and I hope I'm wrong. But great players, really good players, are not going to get paid because so many owners are going to say, we can't invest in the free agent market when we just lost that much money in 2020. That naturally is going to lead to some hard feelings between the sides, feelings that were We had a spirit of collaboration this year, getting all right. This in. I was kind of encouraged by that, but I'm afraid that the off season is going to lead to issues going into next year and through next year, and then we're going to have big problems in 2022.
There's no way the owners sign off on revenue sharing, is there?
I'm not sure where the owners are thinking at this point. And even though I'm not a big owners guy here, I must say they're a big part of the problem we have in the game today. But they did. Those losses are legitimate. And they're going to have to figure out a way to survive next year financially if COVID's around. And I think it will be. And we don't know how many games we're going to play. We don't know when we're going to start. And fortunately, we have a long time to get to that, but it's going to get here way faster than we think.
As the baseball purist that you have consistently been on this show and many others, how many of these rules do you think will last beyond the COVID year of 2020?
Well, I think the universal DH is going to stay, and I think it's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm also okay with pitchers batting in both leagues. But to be practical about things, that's not going to happen. So let's just acknowledge that the National League has accepted it to some degree. We're going to keep our pitchers healthier by not having them bat. We can keep a star player off his feet for a day in the field, and he still gets four at bat. So all of that makes sense to me to keep the DH moving forward. But I'm sorry, I'm 63 years old, and I'm not in favor of any of these other rules continuing. Look, I think we should play nine-inning games because we've been doing that for 150 years. I think we should play until somebody wins at the end instead of placing a runner at second base. Now, I was all in favor of those things for this year, this extraordinary year that needed all the help it could get. All in favor of what they did. Baseball was very smart in what it did, but I'm not in favor of a runner at second. I'm not in favor of seven-inning doubleheaders, and I'm not in favor of the three-batter minimum for relievers because, I mean, we didn't save any time during the games anyway. We have much larger problem on pace of play. It's not, hey, we've got this batter facing not enough hitters. That's not the problem.
Tim, I'm curious if you feel – are your feelings hurt the way the Levitard show has kind of buddied up to Jeff Passan and how he's brought in this shiny new trick of the Elmo?
No. Look, I think we can all acknowledge that Levitard show is the stupidest show in the history of radio. That's what makes it so funny and so brilliant. And the more, the merrier. Jeff Passan's a friend of mine. He's really good at what he does. And that Elmo impersonation is really funny. So, no, I have no ego whatsoever on anything about this stuff, especially this time of year.
You're listening to Tim Kirchen, the ESPN baseball analyst here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Tim, what was it like broadcasting games this year? You did a lot of those from home, right?
Yeah, I did a dozen games from home, and that was bizarre beyond words. There I am calling a major league game with the play-by-play guy, Carl Ravitch, 400 miles away from my house. The other analyst, Eduardo Perez, he was 1,500 miles away. And the game was 3,000 miles away. It was ridiculous. And being the absolute worst of all time with technology, anything that went wrong, of course, I didn't know what to do. I panicked multiple times. And one time in the open, this is the most important part of the game. We welcome everyone in. Hey, the Rays are playing the Yankees. During the open, my camera, my iPad, went dark. So here I am in the most important part of the show, and the camera goes out. But the audio was still on, so I had to keep speaking. And in the background, wow. I could hear Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez laughing like crazy. Like, look at our pal, the old guy who doesn't know anything about technology. His camera is dark. It was so bad. But because it was so bad, it actually turned out to be good, because I think everyone recognized we're all going through these technological changes together. So I'll do a game from home any day just to do a game. But let's just hope we get to do games from the ballpark next year.
All right, Tim, you've delivered as always. You know how we like to close things, though. A rapid fire, first thing off the top of the head. Ready to play?
Yeah, okay.
How late did you stay up last night?
I went to bed at midnight. I got up at 2. I got up at 4. So I slept for 2 hours here and there. Terrible.
It was an absolute train wreck. Do you have a go-to impression that you can do?
No, I can't impersonate anyone. All right, I'm going to try one as long as you don't play it on the air, okay?
Okay.
Now batting for the Yankees, the shortstop, number 2, Derek Jeter, number 2.
That's outstanding!
That is, yeah,
way to go!
That's better than you give yourself credit for.
Yeah, come on! Let us play it.
That is fantastic.
Let us play it.
Ask me another question.
Okay. Are you still good with a runner on second base in the minors? In extra innings?
Yes. Let's experiment there. That's the point. This is the big leagues. This is not American Legion. This is not softball. It's not even the minor leagues. The big leagues are the highest level. It should be played at the highest level. But, yes, let's experiment in the minor leagues. Maybe we'll all catch on. Maybe it'll be a great idea. I'm just saying today it's not.
All right, and one final one about the rules. What about outlawing the shift?
You know, I've come around on that, fellas. Mark Teixeira has convinced me that outlawing the shift might be a small way to get around all these walks, all these strikeouts, and all these home runs. Maybe without a shift, we can return to somebody actually trying to hit a ball to somewhere other than the pull side. Because he has convinced me, and it took a lot of convincing, that you can't just take a ball on the inside part of the plate and hit it to the opposite field. That's really hard to do against pitching today. And Mark Teixeira told me, with the shift in place, a left-handed hitter gets up there, and on an inside pitch, he has to hit it into the shift. So he tries not to hit it into the shift. He tries to hit it over the shift, and that's where the home runs come from, the strikeouts come from, the walks come from, and that's the big challenge, is trying to find fewer of those and more of the plays in between.
Tim, I'm going to try to sneak one more in too. Just from Braves territory, does Andrew Jones or Dale Murphy ever have a chance of landing in the Hall?
I love Dale Murphy. I'm not encouraged that he's going to get in. Andrew Jones is gaining a little traction here. Defensive excellence. Other than Willie Mays, I think he's the greatest center fielder defensively I've ever seen. And with all those home runs and winning teams, I think he's getting some traction, but it's going to be some time before he gets in. And I hope when he goes in, Dale Murphy goes with him.
Tim, listen, thank you for all that you do. Always enjoy hearing your broadcast, your Levitard appearances, and we always appreciate you visiting us here in Chattanooga.
Okay, guys. See you soon.
All righty. Tim Kirchen, the ESPN baseball analyst, joining us. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.